Arte da ascoltare. Radio Papesse al Festival dell'Arte Contemporanea. Myung-Won Kwon insegna storia dell'arte contemporanea alla UCLA University di Los Angeles. L'abbiamo incontrata nella hall del suo albergo a Faenza e abbiamo colto l'occasione per riflettere brevemente su cosa sia la storia dell'arte contemporanea, quali le sue contraddizioni, quale il ruolo del museo e dell'artista in un sistema viziato dalla popolarità.
So, my name is Myung-Won Kwon. I live in Los Angeles. I'm a professor in the Department of Art History at University of California, Los Angeles. I teach contemporary art history, which means in that context, art since 1945. It might be of interest that I was born in Korea and that immigrated to America when I was quite young. My education, though, is in architecture. My PhD, everything is in architecture. And so to be an art history professor is maybe a little bit unusual. Anyway, that's me. I have a dog. I have... I drive an Audi. I think from an academic perspective, that is, as an art historian working in a university, contemporary art is art since 1945. That's how the division of labor within a department usually gets defined. And in the U.S., the position of someone who only teaches contemporary art history is in the department is a relatively new phenomenon. When I was hired about 10 years ago, it was one of the first jobs in the U.S. that was advertised as a contemporary position, not a modern position. And since then, there have been more and more positions. And I can't define what contemporary art history is. One thing I could say is that what makes me different, what makes me, what I do different from my colleague who's a Renaissance art historian, for instance, is that, one, I deal with living artists, usually. Some of the generation of the 60s have passed away, but usually we're talking about art that's living, which is often contradictory to the idea of history. History implies that it's already kind of far from you and that you could have this somewhat detached perspective. So that's one thing. You're dealing with living practice. Also, I'm much more close, the work I do is much more close to the marketplace than someone who's involved in like ancient art, for instance. They're also involved in some ways, but I think it's much more explicit for a contemporary art historian. Also, contemporary art historians' roles blur into art criticism. I think of those two things as very different kind of work, art criticism versus art history. But in the contemporary field, there's more of a confusion because a lot of what we write about ends up being in magazines, for instance, that can promote an artist that's linked to a gallery or, you know, museum exhibition that's very current. So those are some parameters that make it different from other kinds of art history. I don't think of it as a period. I think there are lots of different types of artists and different art worlds. The most public and most visible is the, you know, the biennial culture, the mega exhibition, the Bilbao, things like that. So that's the type that we'll talk about, although I think there are other models. I think, you know, the figure of the artist in society has changed dramatically, although I don't think it's necessarily brand new in the last 15 years or so. I think there is a historical development. And I think today, a successful artist, quote unquote, someone that's known in popular culture, is not just someone who makes things that gets called art and goes into public display context, but they themselves produce their own personages. So for me, the precedent is Warhol, in which it's almost as important, the figure of Warhol, as a kind of celebrity icon than what he makes, you know, or what he makes is his celebrity icon. Someone said about Warhol that he made fame famous, and I think that's part of the impact of market, the explosion of the market, media, upon the figure of the artist is the celebrity culture conditions for the artist, and that they produce themselves, you know, as circulating images, as of a kind of sign of value. And I think because of that, what happens in schools for younger artists is very, very confusing. Like, what does it mean to be educated in art? In the schools, I think you're still taught to make things, draw things, make images, learn how to use materials, tools, etc. But to circulate in the real art world as an artist, to get legitimated, part of it is your self-production more than, you know, making of a thing, making of a work. If it's a contemporary art museum, I actually question whether one needs a collection. The collection as the basis, I mean, like, historically, that's what a museum is, and it defines itself through the collection. But if it's more geared toward contemporary art, and as I said yesterday, about production of work rather than collection of work, then, you know, that's kind of unnecessary. But the economic structure of the museum, that is the board of trustees, the, you know, the funders and such, they define their status through collections. So the collection is now not really important in terms of the story that the museum will tell through their objects, but through retaining trustees who will fund the museum. It's a more of an economic entity than an artistic entity, one could say. I'm very conservative when it comes to what I think a museum should be and what its relationship should be to art, and also, let's say, the city or the location. I think the more the dominant cultural forces push for, you know, greater, faster flows, image culture, of celebrity culture, deterritorialization, all that, I think the museum should become even more more traditional and protect art. I feel that more and more museums are in the business of displaying itself and displaying what's in it, you know, like you're just making yourself available, selling yourself, you know. But I think actually it should be the reverse, you know, like it shouldn't be about selling, but more that it should attract, which is very different. Popularity as a criteria, which I know it's impossible, what I'm saying, in the market system, you know, that popularity shouldn't be the measure, but I wish it was not the measure. And I think who loses is not so much the artist, but art itself loses, I think, when it becomes about popularity. I think there's a very big difference between information versus knowledge. And a lot of people, I think, confuse access to information as access to knowledge. So, you know, Google, internet, you know, you could get a lot of information. Some of it's even wrong information, but you could get access to things. But what something means, how to analyze, how to have a skeptical relationship to information. I think people use information as substitute for knowledge. So actually greater access, whether it's to information or to places even, doesn't mean actually access in a deeper sense. I think it's actually fake. The failure of not, I wouldn't say the word failure, but the decreasing significance of the idea of a monument that's place, locator, and that it commemorates, or it's just kind of a symbolic, you know, form for a larger history or public or something like that. That model actually changes much earlier than the 1960s. It's really kind of the modernist ethos to abandon this kind of commitment to any particular location in search for something more universal that could be anywhere. Site-specific practice tries to reintroduce the importance of specific location, but not on the basis of commemoration or memorialization or monumentalization. So it's a kind of a return to location, but in a with a different set of concerns. I don't think monuments are over. I do think a lot of artists work at that scale, both in terms of size, but also in terms of like weight of meaning. I think someone like Richard Serra is very deeply involved with that kind of practice. I think working at large scale in very particular locations doesn't necessarily mean you're working in, you know, in the logic of the monument, you know, but the reverse is true too.
Ascoltato una produzione di Radio Papesse. Il servizio è gratuito, ma tutto quello che senti ha dei costi di produzione. Se vuoi aiutarci a sostenerli, vai sul sito www.radiopapesse.org e clicca su Sostieni. Basta davvero poco.